Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get a motion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
Oh, hey, love your shoes. If you're hearing this, this is your sign to try those on. Trust us, you can totally pull them off. In fact, try on every shoe here if you want. We won't stop you. In our house, you've got unlimited freedom to play. And hey, fall is the perfect season to do, wear, be whatever you want. And with tons of shoes that get you at prices that get your budget, we'll give you something to brag about. So go ahead, try them on. Let us surprise you.
And a pleasant good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show. It is your weekly visit with Saints head coach Kellen Moore, who joins us tonight. And man, it doesn't matter, 20-13, 26-21, 44-13, they all stink. I know you hate it, so I'm not even going to bother with an opening. Hey, overall, it's tough. It's a tough way to begin, and I get it. So let me ask you if it's possible on that. On that first offensive drive, kind of a tone setter, third and two at Seattle 45, you'd already had a first down. Had you already decided at that point that you were going for it on kind of fourth down regardless, or was that based on the incomplete on the third down?
No, we had reached a zone that we were going to be able to go for it, and so we had two opportunities at it. Missed two opportunities, so felt like we had a chance there. Felt like we had two plays that we felt really good about all week long, and we just missed our opportunity there.
Now, Coach Moore, along those lines, I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong, but it looked like to me Alvin misjudged the ball. Why did he stop running? Why didn't he keep running? I think if he'd have kept running, Rattler might have dropped it right in there. What did you see on the film on that route? Because I don't know, he's open, maybe you can throw a better throw, but I know you anticipating the throw, but it just seems like Alvin didn't realize, I don't know if Rattler was going to reach him or what, but he like stopped running and tried to leap at a ball instead of running through it.
That's a good question. I think, he got to the scramble phase. Obviously, there was an initial design of trying to get Alvin up the sideline. He was open. We kind of got moved off the spot. We got into a scramble situation. I think Alvin kind of got conflicted whether to run back to the QB to get back in position for the scramble or to stay open. And so, really unfortunate miss for us.
Now, Kellen, 31 penalties now, number one in the NFL along with the Titans. That's something you don't want to be a number one in. And you look how the penalties occurred. 11 penalties and 2 to decline, so really 13 infractions, including 8 in the first half. And then you got Brian Brzee, unnecessary roughness, penalty for headbutting a player. After we stopped him on third down, then it ultimately leads to a touchdown. What do you tell a veteran player when they make a boneheaded play like that? After the whistle, what in the world? Do you drop an F-bomb or you pull him aside? You let his position coach give him the business? Come on, Brian Brzee, you're too important. You got to understand that that's a selfish act, and you play in a team sport. That is unacceptable.
Yep, no question. Completely agree. It's the way we addressed it. Obviously, completely, it's a 4-point play. You know, our defense responded, you know, to a challenging situation. They made a big third down stop. We got a chance to get them to 3, and to make a decision like that obviously hurts the entire team and the entire organization.
Coach, I wanted to go back a little bit, if I could, to the scramble drill. First off, you got the touchdown to Jack Stoll. So I guess when Spencer rolls, and he has a very hard tell, meaning you don't always – he hides it pretty well. You don't know if he's going to run it. You don't know if he's going to throw it. So there's got to be a marker. There's got to be something that tells the receivers to get into scramble mode. And I'm asking because you talked about it this afternoon and you said kind of mirror the quarterback. Like Seattle did a good job of mirroring the quarterback. Because Spencer does a pretty good job in that scramble drill or rolling out and not giving a tell, kind of, you know, what's the fix there?
Yeah, there's two phases. We always like to say there's two phases to every pass play. There's the initial phase, which is, you know, the intent of the play, and then there's the scramble phase. And, you know, a lot of these really good quarterbacks in this league have the ability to play off schedule. And so, you know, I think Spence has made some plays. We got to play better in the scramble phase. I think we got to transition to it, stay alive as you know, the perimeter players, near the quarterback, find green grass. There's some rules to it. But, you know, I think Seattle had a great example, the second play of the game. You know, we have a sack opportunity and Sam gets out of there and they just react really well and made an explosive play off of a scramble.
Now, Kellen, I don't know if you've ever witnessed this, and it doesn't happen too often, especially when you have that kind of punt return, 90-plus yards. It hadn't occurred, and ironically, it occurred twice yesterday. The Commanders did the same thing against the Raiders, what the Seahawks were able to do against us. I mean, I don't know, to have a punt return for a touchdown and you having a punt block in the same game in the first quarter, setting the tone. Before you know it, we're down 21-0. But those games you never win. When that occurs, because I think the parity in the league and then we also give up a 60-yard kickoff return in the second quarter that set up another touchdown. Boy, that was a cluster you-know-what on special teams. I know you had to be really disappointed, Coach Galliano, with that. And that almost that's when you want almost the whole team to come to the damn special teams meeting and show the players how important this phase is. It's offense, defense, and special teams. Special teams does count and can have a dramatic impact on the outcome of the game.
Yeah, they had 206 return yards, you know, in both the punt and kick phase. And so, you know, we had some missed opportunities. We put ourselves behind in that game really early. And, you know, we were not able to play that traditional football game where you can play with the rushing attempts and the play action football on offense. And our defense was able to hang in there. We put ourselves in some challenging situations and, you know, we missed a lot of opportunities because of it.
Looking at where are we at as far as some psyche? I mean, you got to be a pro. One snap and clear, whether it goes good or bad, what are you going to do the next game? You know, what have you done for me lately? All that kind of stuff. But I think it's almost imperative, just from a confidence standpoint, that we get off to a fast start. The reason why I bring it up, that we've trailed now from the start to the finish for the second consecutive game this season, and we've now led only 4 minutes total so far this season. And we played 12 quarters. Now, ultimately, you want to be winning at the end. But I just think that would work wonders if we can just have a lead and get off to a fast start.
Yeah, that's the formula. We got to start faster. The challenging thing is there's some good in the start. You know, our defense, I thought, responded out. You know, without the scramble drill, we responded really well. And they made that play. And then we settled in, made a third down stop. And then we have the bonehead mistake there. And then offensively, we get a couple first downs. But then we have mistakes there. And so we have to put ourselves in advantageous situations where we can play with the lead and get going faster and put ourselves in these favorable positions because, you know, momentum can carry you a long way, and we got to feel that.
So, Coach, I want to talk about the end of the first half, and I know you kicked the field goal because you felt like that was most important. I get that. I mean, you're the head coach. That's what you felt was most important. I want to talk about the play before that. 13 seconds, so Rattler throws it to Shahid. He comes back, so the clock does continue to roll. So there were 13 seconds and then three before they got your timeout. It seems like that was a lot of time. Were you arguing with them about you got your timeout sooner? Because you literally, I mean, 5 seconds, you may do something different there, right?
Yeah, if we have 5 seconds, we're getting one more shot in the end zone. Obviously, we had to try and bang the timeout as quickly as possible and also evaluate how they were going to officiate it. And so, you know, felt like hopefully we could have got 5 seconds left, but until they granted it to us, they didn't grant it to us until 3 seconds. And so that was the way it was evaluated. And, you know, we lost our opportunity to take one more shot in the end zone.
I guess just did they give you that they just said, hey, we felt like there were three, not five.
Yeah, they just said by the time they recognized the timeout being called by myself, you know, they're already down to 3 seconds. So, yeah.
Take a break. I appreciate that, Coach. Thanks for that answer. It's a critical time of that first half because they got it first in the second half. Need to take a break. This is the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show. Mike Haas, Bobby Hebert, and head coach Kellen Moore back after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get a motion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
There's artificial intelligence, then there's apartmental intelligence. Yep, it's a thing. Apartments.com knows how to find the exact place you have in mind. Want a three-bedroom condo in a walkable downtown? Done. Or that single-family home with a yard and a quiet neighborhood? Easy. With over a million rental listings, plus search tools that make moving simple, their apartmental intelligence can get you a place that gets you. Visit Apartments.com, the place to find a place.
Welcome back. This is the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show with Saints head coach Kellen Moore, Mike Haas here in studio, Bobby Hebert at the Silver Slipper in Hancock County, Mississippi. And coach, man, third down has just been, it's an issue. Sometimes, you know, you get into third and long behind the sticks, but you're 9 of 25 coming in, 5 of 15 Sunday, which makes you 14 of 43, somewhere around between 33% and 36%. And, you know, you just got to keep the ball longer to keep your defense off the field. I mean, quite frankly, yesterday's game book is a little misleading. I mean, you could look at time of possession. You could look at a lot of things. And you go, whoa, Saints won this game. So that yesterday's game book is a little different. But third down wise, offensively, is a stat that has to improve.
Yeah. Third and 1-3, we were 3-for-6. So obviously we got to be a lot better there. And then 4-for-6, which is really still the downs you can win on off from an offense perspective, percentually, we're 0-for-3. And so when you combine those, we got a couple long yardage ones, but we're not getting the ones that are favorable for the offense to keep ourselves moving. And so, you know, we got to take advantage of those.
Now, Coach Moore, I don't know. I would have thought we'd have an interception by now. Did you talk to Coach Daly or like, okay, we got to get takeaways. Now, you can cause a fumble and all that, a forced fumble recovery, but we're not even getting close to getting interceptions. You know, like, damn, we got to catch the ball, not a pass defended, but it seems like we're not even coming close to get interceptions. Have you all observed that? I mean, I'm just looking. You know, are we counting on Justin Reed, a big player that we got in the offseason? I mean, I'm watching OTAs, minicamp, training camp. I don't think he had one damn interception. The guy who intercepted for us, he's hurt, had four straight days of practice, Blackman. But in the games, we are not getting our hands on the ball and being opportunistic as far as coming up with takeaways. I mean, it's not like we're dropping interceptions. No, we're not even in position to get how do you address that? Do you talk to Coach Daly about that?
Yeah, something we talked about that's going in this week just because we didn't have the opportunities the first 2 weeks and, you know, we're sitting here without another opportunity. Again, we weren't able to disrupt the quarterback enough and put him in advantageous spots for us. He went 16 for 21. He played in some favorable situations. And again, we got to get more shots at the ball. We got to give ourselves eyes on it and give ourselves more opportunities.
Now, Coach Moore, looking at, like, this is not the game that you're giving out game balls or attaboys, you know, that type of game. But I thought a pro, and he is going in his fifth-year veteran. We got him from the Dolphins coming out of Nebraska, Jack Stahl. That was a beautiful catch that he made on that touchdown catch, three targets, two receptions. So Jack Stahl, to me, even though the game was well out of hand, played like a pro.
Yeah, Jack's everything you want in a pro football player as far as the detail he puts into it, the work he puts into it. He was in Philadelphia when I was up there for a little bit, and he's usually the dirty work guy. He does a lot of the dirty work. He doesn't ask and complain about it. That's his job. And, you know, he earned his first NFL touchdown this weekend. And so, you know, it's been a long journey for him to have that opportunity. But, again, a good example of someone who's playing all the way through the end of the game, taking advantage of every opportunity. And so, you know, a lot of good things coming from Jack.
Coach Bobby talked about the turnovers, and, you know, people will say, well, they come in bunches. You know, they'll happen, you know, three or four, boom, 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 boom. And from an explosive play situation, you had three coming in to the game, and then one 21-yarder from Juwan Johnson, which gives you four offensively, not Shahid's punt return. Are they similar? Can they come in bunches? Or are you – it's one of those things that you don't try to force explosive plays because it can bite you.
Yeah, I do think we need to create more opportunities for it. We got to be in better situations to put ourselves in that. When you get down and they can put a roof on things and play a lot of shell defense and not worry about the run and make you go the long way, you're going to have some challenging opportunities to get downfield. And so we got to put ourselves in better situations to do that. We got to give ourselves more opportunities to do that because obviously to go 14, 15 plays drives in this league are really, really hard, and we got to create some explosives to have sudden changes.
Now, Coach Moore, I was talking with Deuce about this, and I know you probably addressed the scene, and you don't have to share this with the fan base or the public, but, I mean, I always look at, okay, you got to look in the mirror. You want to get a real job or you want to do this for a living? And Deuce and I was talking about a couple of times, it's like, I don't know, we want to fight after the play instead of during the play. You know, so how do you address the team with that? You want that aggressive spirit, but do it whistle to whistle. How do you address the team with that?
Yeah, we got to play, you know, our play style, you know, has been one of our strengths as we've grown here. You know, I think we've been getting better at it as far as just playing a fast, physical game. We got to play within the confines of the play. And we got to play every single play. And that's the challenge of this game is you never know which players are going to have the biggest impact on this game. It can happen in any four quarters. This is a great example of how quickly those big plays can happen in the first quarter if you don't take advantage of them. And so, you know, we got to take advantage of each opportunity.
Coach Moore, the game's well out of hand. And obviously Spencer Rattler's fighting his behind off. But what was the reasoning behind for putting Chuck in at the end of the game? I don't know, was it 3 minutes or something? Instead of, why not give him the fourth quarter to at least get his feet wet? I don't know, he threw a couple of balls. But was that a fair opportunity for him? Or he just wanted to get him in the game? But it just seems like to maybe have a better opportunity. We've been like, okay, we're not going to win this game. Chuck, go in for the fourth quarter.
Yeah, we had one more drive late in there to get Spencer going, one more drive with really the first group, and we weren't able to get it. And then, you know, obviously, you know, I felt like at that point we kind of shifted gears from the game, put some of the younger guys in, give Tyler a chance to get in there for a couple reps, you know, so hopefully, you know, whenever, you know, he's called upon in any capacity, he's played a couple snaps. Obviously, you know, it's not the ideal situation to be going into. But, you know, Spence had done a lot of good. I thought Spence did some really good things in that game. You know, he battled in some really challenging situations and circumstances. And, you know, he competed the entire way. And I have a lot of respect for what Spence did in that game.
Need to take a quick break. Then when we come back, we'll talk more about Seattle. Also look ahead to another long road trip, this time to the Northeast and Buffalo. This is the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show with Saints head coach Callum Moore here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Welcome back. This is the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show. We'll continue to talk about Seattle, but also moving on to next week brought to you by John Fayard Moving and Warehousing, first in service, and that would be Buffalo and the Schedule Makers. Did you know, Favors, they get a mini bye. They play Thursday night at home against Miami, which they win, but it was a much closer game, 21-21 in the fourth quarter. And right now, and I know coaches do not care about spreads and all that bull, although Buffalo's a 16.5 point favorite. And I'm sorry, this is the NFL. That's disrespectful. I expect that on a sign at the door of the locker room to this team to go, hey, man, I kind of feel like them kicking off to Kendre Miller every daggone time. Like they don't, you got to earn respect. I get it. But man, that's, I don't know. Will you use that as motivation?
Yeah, certainly. We got to earn the right to, prove otherwise. And so, obviously, we have a great opportunity. We're going to go play a team in Buffalo that's playing as good as anyone in this league. They got some premier players. It's going to be certainly the challenge for us, but I think this is a really great turning point opportunity for our guys to respond the right way coming out of Seattle, to go up there and compete against these guys. And, we feel like we put in a good work week. We'll have a heck of an opportunity.
Now, Coach Moore, how do you and Coach Staley handle this? Because I know, you're on the offensive side of the ball and he's with the defense. And that, I don't know, I look at times between Mac Jones and Sam Darnold. I don't know, they could have played 8 quarters, if not 12 quarters. At times, they like make a sandwich back there and not uncomfortable at all. And then we're getting ready to face Josh Allen, who was MVP last season. And then we could play footloose and fancy free. All the pressure, I guess, would be on them. Because you look at Buffalo, what they've been able to do, they've now won 12 consecutive games at home dating back to 2023. So it's like, hey, let's just go play. Don't play tight. Let's go make it happen, because no one's expecting us to win in Buffalo.
Yeah, and this is a great opportunity for us. We got to go for it. We got to play fast, physical. We got to play aggressive. We got to play a clean game. And, we got all the opportunities in front of us. Again, this quarterback's really, really good. And we got to create some havoc as far as making him move off the spot and make plays. And then we got to go chase him down and tackle him.
You know, Kellen, when I look at, there's always positive, negatives, and what does it really mean? I said, well, there's really no meaning because of the score, but I guess it does count. Look, they had 33 rushing attempts, and they only averaged 2.6 yards a carry. So I said, that's a positive. That could continue. I think if that was even 3.6 instead of 2.6, that would be a big win. Because, they wanted to run the football. Now, we only average 2.9, but then you're kind of in the catch-up mode. So what positives you could say, is that one of them, that, okay, we played well against the run. This is how it needs to be on third down defense. They were only 33%. Now, red zone, not good. They were 4 or 5, 80%. We were not good in the red zone. All you got to do is make one more instead of 1 of 3, be 2 of 3. And Hawes brought up like third down, but what are the positives? Is that like, hey, we play well against the run? Our third down defense is outstanding? Because, you can only beat a dead horse so long. So you try to mix in the positive with the negatives. But how do you break down a game like this when you look at the score, when those are two outstanding things? If you can continue this, only letting the opponent convert 30-some percent on third down and then giving up basically 2.5 yards a run, no, that's winning football.
Yeah, there are some examples of winning football. Obviously not enough, but the run game, like you said, we did do a good job of controlling that for the most part on defense. The third down, 3 for 9, so you felt like you took a step there. I do appreciate the way our guys competed in the second half. We gave up 6 points, 2 field goals. Offense kept battling, missed some opportunities, but to score a touchdown and at least keep the thing moving. We got to keep growing from that. And so our guys, it's all about how we respond moving forward. Can't change the outcome of the Seattle game. We will not change that under any circumstance. So it's all about how we respond this week.
Coach did get some opportunities. Jonas Anker, of course, has been playing because of a Blackman. Had 8 tackles in week 2, 5 solo, 3 tackles yesterday with 2 solo. And also, we spoke with quarterbacks coach Grady Brown last week on the show, and he kind of thought that Quincy Riley would get in that game. And we talked to Quincy at training camp, and not every cornerback says this. He goes, man, I love to tackle. I love to hit. I love to go up and make that hit. You know, maybe a safety, but you don't always hear cornerbacks say it. But he feels like he's growing and earning some time from a defensive snap standpoint.
I definitely think Quincy's progressing really well. He had a big-time tackle on kickoff 2 weeks ago against San Francisco, and then he has the big tackle here in the run game that creates the fumble opportunity. And so we've seen the ball production he's had in training camp. He certainly had his hand on the football a number of times, creating turnovers. And so he's a player that's earning more opportunities, and we'll just see how this thing progresses.
So, Coach, again, we appreciate your time. It ain't easy, you know. You knew that when you became a head coach. You know, it's not an easy gig. My best of luck to you in Buffalo. Get a W when they least expect it, and turn this thing around. Because then you come home and you got some different kind of teams coming to you. You don't play a division game till week 8, so a lot of football still to play.
Awesome. Appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
Let's pause 10 seconds to let stations identify themselves here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. When we come back on The Visit, Pensacola Saints Coaches Show, Bobby and I will talk with offensive line coach Brendan Nugent, making his second stint with the Saints. He was here from 2015 to 2021, and now he is back. We'll talk about yesterday's game and what's ahead here on The Visit, Pensacola Saints Coaches Show here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get emotion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
Oh, hey, love your shoes. If you're hearing this is your sign to try those on. Trust us, you can totally pull them off. In fact, try on every shoe here if you want. We won't stop you. In our house, you've got unlimited freedom to play. And hey, fall is the perfect season to do, wear, be whatever you want. And with tons of shoes that get you at prices that get your budget, we'll give you something to brag about. So go ahead, try them on. Let us surprise you.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Ever walked past a place for rent and wish you could just peek inside? Maybe even explore the layout? Envision the natural light streaming through the windows, or plan where your vinyl record collection would go. At Apartments.com, you can. With tools like their 3D virtual tours, you can see the exact unit you'd be living in. Really envision yourself in your new home with Apartments.com. The place to find a place.
Welcome back. It is The Visit, Pensacola Saints Coaches Show. Just talked to Saints head coach Kellen Moore, now joined by Brendan Nugent, the offensive line coach. His second time here was with the Saints 2015 through 2021. Spent last year in Seattle, back here in 25 because he knew this is where he wanted to be. Makes yesterday's loss sting a little bit. They all sting, don't get me wrong. But when you kind of get out of your offensive plan down 21, 28. I mean, it's hard to, you know, kind of stay focused on your script when you're down so fast and so quickly.
Yeah, no, I agree that it does make it challenging. But, you know, at the end of the day, you just got to kind of take it one play at a time. And, you know, like that's what we kept preaching to the players on the sideline is, you know, you can't get it all back at once. You know, you just got to go do your job one play at a time and slowly kind of try and chip away at it, you know. And, you know, to the players' credit, you know, they kind of never really lost faith and just kind of kept going and kept going and kept playing hard.
Now, Coach Nugent, it seemed like we took a step back in the running game. I know we're having to play catch-up, but still 27 attempts, only 2.9-yard average. I know that has to be unacceptable in your meeting room, and obviously being an offensive line coach, you can't average 2.9 yards a run. That was 3.9. Okay, I accept that. And that's a big difference, 2.9 to 3.9. But what did you tell the O-line today? And I know now that was one of their strengths, that being the Seahawks defensive line, and we're dealing with injuries. But what do you tell the O-line? Because I know you're telling them that has to be better.
Yeah, no, you know, you're 100% right, Bobby. It's, you know, 2.9, it's not acceptable. You know, that's not who we want to be. You know, we dove deep into the tape and kind of, you know, dissected it. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's kind of, it's like, hey, you know, we can have four guys or, you know, five guys or six guys doing their job. And then there's one guy that's just, you know, not quite there. And, you know, that's the difference in the NFL, especially when you go against a good defense and a good defensive front like Seattle has. You know, everybody's got to be kind of on their P's and Q's, if you will, right? And it's like that one little mishap can really make a difference when you go against a good defensive front. So we really kind of focused in on those details and just trying to make sure, like, everybody's got to do their job on each play, and that's where you'll have some success. You know, at least in the first couple of weeks before that, you know, that's where we had some more success when guys were kind of, you know, locked in and together. So we kind of dove in deep and, you know, and just kind of keep hammering away at it.
Now, Coach Nugent, a two-part question here. You look at Richards and Simpkins thrown out there. Hey, you're a pro. Richards right now with Landon Young's injury being out a swing tackle. How did he grade out, and how did Simpkins do? When the preseason game was a real game, how did they do along the line? And then the other part, why not play Trevor Penning? Is he still not 100%, or you want to ease him into it at left guard? Just answer that.
Yeah, so starting with your first one there, you know, just those guys, kind of a hard situation, again, with that defensive front to go into, but those two battled, you know, between Richards and Simpkins. Those guys went in there, you know, they fought and battled, and, you know, there's obviously, if you look at it, there's times they got beaten, there's times that they can, you know, technique things that we can clean up, but, you know, they never stopped playing hard, and they kept competing, and, you know, there's things that they can learn from, experiences that they can grow from there. And, you know, I think it was good for those guys to kind of get a full game under their belt, and it's just going to help them down the line, you know, if and when we need to call on them again, depending on how the season goes. You know, and then with Trevor, you know, he's coming back off this thing, and, you know, we kind of just had him up there in more of an emergency situation this week. But we're going to kind of just keep building him up and bringing him along and kind of get him back to where he was right before the injury. So just kind of taking it a little bit, little by little with him. But it was good to see him out there in pads and go through warmups. And, you know, he would have been ready to go if called upon. But we'll just kind of keep stacking his days, as they say, stacking his days, good days together and gather, and keep getting his rep count higher so that he can get back in there and play.
Coach, one of the things that Coach Kellen Moore talked about a couple of weeks ago when we were talking about the penalties post Arizona was that, man, you put a lot of emphasis on it for week two in San Francisco. What are you talking, you know, it's your starters. You know, what are you telling Kellen Banks? And he's got three. McCoy's got two. Radenz has two. Ruiz two. Fuaga two. I mean, it's consistent. It's just so kind of out of the norm to have, you know, those starters, first rounders, McCoy, veterans with the penalties.
Yeah, you know, it's not, it's obviously not where we want to be right now. You know, this past week, this was our first, you know, away game using silent count. And, you know, unfortunately, that's kind of what caught Kelvin this week. But again, it's we have to be able to use multiple cadences, right? We say it all the time. We can't just go on one. It's a defensive advantage, right? And those guys get paid a lot of money too over on that side of the ball. So we're going to try and use everything we can to try and slow them down. And, you know, that's just been a point of emphasis, and we just got to keep emphasizing it with these guys, man, because look, if we start having more and more of these penalties as we keep going, then we got to go on one, and then nobody wants to do that. So it's really just finding the balance of when we're using the cadence, how we're hearing it, how we're going through it, and just being able to be professional and hold our water in there and not have it. But it's not It's not where we want to be, right? We can't do the self-inflicted wounds, and you know, we just got to keep harping on it and not accept it, you know, and just keep going from there.
Now, Coach Nugent, I don't know if you're going to agree with this, but I remember it was late July, early August, and this came across in a reading where, you know, how you draft people, who you're investing in, and only the Saints and the Chargers and their projected five starters, four to five starters were drafted in the first round. Well, I'm like, that's what we're investing in. Well, shoot, offensive line just can't be good. They got to be great. And that's where we have to dominate. And that's one thing post-Katrina, you know, you look at the last – since 2006 on, that we had the top, for sure, five, if not top three offensive line always. And then I look, okay, a first rounder like Caesar Reeves. What does he need to do to get better? Because, okay, you can see, oh, he's getting better, and then all of a sudden he takes a step back. And it's a number one draft pick. You got to play like a number one draft pick. What does he need to do to get better?
Oh, the biggest thing for Caesar, right, he does a lot of good things. It's just being consistent. And he has definitely improved on his consistency here over the past couple weeks through training camp and all that stuff. And you know he's a way better player than when I was here the last time at this point. But the biggest thing for him is just consistency, and he's working towards it. So I mean that's a big part of everything we want to do, right? Like once we, you know, I always say to the players, it's like, you know, once you show the demonstrated ability that you can do it, it's like, ah, I got you now, because now we're going to expect it. So just kind of building those habits, you know, through repetitions and practice over and over again so that they become second nature in the game. That's kind of what we're trying to build towards.
Now, Coach Nugent, when you're trying to establish the run, maybe I'm too old school about this. I don't know. I think you got to be under the center. Now, I ran the run and shoot, and I remember talking with June Jones. I said, well, shoot, they know we're going to pass anyway. We're not really going to run, so why not just get in the shotgun? But now you look at the RPOs and what comes into play there. But I was looking where the Saints have been in the shotgun 83% of the time on offensive play so far this season. Only the Commanders, and they got Jane Daniels at 86% rent, are running it at a higher rate. So, to me, I know coming downhill under the center, it just seems like, maybe I'm too old school with this, teams honor the run more if you're under the center versus shotgun. I don't know, maybe if you have Saquon, we got Alvin Kamara, then you look Jalen Hurts, whatever. But what's your take on us being that much in the shotgun? Only the Commanders have been in the shotgun more than us in the NFL. And you look at a lot of who's perceived as the top successful teams. I'm not saying they're not in the shotgun, but we're in the shotgun actually more than them, us and the Commanders.
Yeah, I think, you know, to that point, Bobby, I think the game's evolved to a lot more shotgun stuff. And you know, to what we do, a lot of it has to where the quarterback feels comfortable, right, in the pass game. And can we marry the run to that, you know? And so, you know, kind of the way around that sometimes is get some stuff in the pistol, be able to do some play action things in the pistol, and then be able to run in the pistol where the back's kind of still coming from that home position. But I think for the line up front, you know, under center, gun, right, it depending on the play, right, we're going to still hit those double teams and those combination blocks the same way as if we were under center as the gun as well. So it's, you know, for us, that thought process doesn't change. You know, we can move some angles maybe between being under center and being in the shotgun, but at the end of the day, from coming off the ball and trying to strike these double teams and move defensive linemen, you know, not a lot changes for us up front.
So, Coach, talk about the challenge, not the excuse. The challenge. Mm-hmm. You lose Clapp, Landon Young, Wesley, Saldivari, all IR. I mean, you know, it's the injuries at a position. So, Luke Fortner, Awesome Richards, Xavier Truss, all never really at camp. They're all in the preseason games. And then you just signed Satawa Lamea and also William Sherman. So there's another tackle and a guard. So you just got so many players who have not really played with your offense. And the challenge, again, not an excuse, the challenge of getting them ready, because guess what? I don't know when, but Sherman and Satawa are going to play. I just feel it. I mean, it's just the way things are.
Yeah, you know, it's, you know, unfortunately, it's part of the game. It's part of the NFL, right? And that's, you know, there's a saying that goes, you know, everybody's got their own problems and injuries, and most people are glad you have yours, right? Like every team's going through it in some capacity, you know, and that is our challenge. But that's also, you know, why we do this, why we coach, right? It's like we can sit here and complain about, oh, this guy's out or this guy's out, but at the end of the day, nobody cares. We got to put five guys out there, right? And that's our job to, no matter when we acquired them, when they got in the building, right? That's where our job as coaches is, to get them caught up to speed as fast as possible and put them in the best possible position that if they do have to go in the game and play, we can still function and still be, you know, a good offense and a good offensive line. And, you know, that's all part of it. You know, it's been doing this for a long time. This isn't the first time, you know, we've kind of dealt with injuries before and bringing guys along. And so, you know, it's just part of it, you know, and unfortunately we just kind of got hit early here, and, you know, now we're just still going. But, you know, there's that phrase, the next man up, and, you know, it's very true, and it's true across the NFL as well. And like I said, that's our job, to get these guys ready to go and be able to go in there and perform and function in the offense.
Coach Nugent, what's your role, I guess, the O-line staff, as far as the practice squad and developing those individuals? You know, when you give a good look on scout team and, you know, your hand placement, footwork, whatever. Just talk a little bit about that. Like, I'm looking like the fans don't know who Easton Kitty is. Here was a tackle rookie from Kansas State, a free agent. But anybody on the practice squad, are you involved when all of a sudden, okay, it might be a defensive period, or maybe someone on the O-line staff, developing those young prospects on the practice squad?
Yeah, you know, it's actually a big part of what we talk about, especially with the younger, the practice squad guys, all those guys. You know, we tell them all the time, like, everything's being evaluated. So when they go over and they're working on the scout team, you know, we tell them, hey, let's work our techniques. Unless the defense needs you to do something different based off who we're playing, we're working our stuff and we're evaluating it, right? And then these are your reps. These are your game reps. And so we're very much, you know, myself, Jari, TJ, Tobias, everybody is very much involved with those guys over there, because it's just as important. Because, as you know, in an NFL practice, you know, those guys don't get the game reps per se. That's their game reps is when they're on the scout team. So they have to, you know, kind of perfect their craft there. And, you know, there's no better way for them to get better, because they're going against, you know, our starting defense and our starting defensive line. So it's really a good kind of like measuring stick for those guys. And it's a chance for them that, hey, they're going against starting NFL caliber defensive players, man. And that's how they get better. So yeah, we are very much involved, very much evaluating them, coaching them through it. You know, it's not just like, you know, like the old like scout team where, hey, just go get your butt kicked and let the defense feel good. Like, no, we're trying to block them. We're trying to come off the ball, create double teams, and do things the way we want to do them here. And that's how they're still developing. And then, you know, post practice is a big part of that too, where we really kind of take the young guys and kind of hone in on them and just kind of keep working their techniques and bringing them along. And just, you know, so that, because you never know, just to Mike's question there before, you never know when any of these guys might have to play. So you got to keep developing and keep bringing them along within our offensive scheme.
Offensive line coach Brendan Nugent grew up White Plains, New York, went to Catholic University. White Plains is still about 6 hours from Buffalo, but you know how hard it is to go up there and win, but you also know how sweet it would be to go up there and win. So best of luck this Sunday up in Buffalo.
I appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
All right, my friend Bobby, we will say goodnight for tonight. What you got for us?
All right, you know, just win, David. Can we come away with a win? Please help Spencer Rattler get a win. Please. I mean, Spencer's fighting his behind off. Just come on, help him get a win.
All right, Bobby. Appreciate your time, as always. Take a break. This is the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show, and we'll come back and we'll talk with Mike Dettelier, talk about the Monday night game in the NFC South after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Welcome back. It is the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network, and back out to the Silver Slipper Casino in Hancock County, Mississippi, where Mike Dettelier joins us. Monday Night Football, Detroit 1-1, Baltimore 1-1. Both got here somewhat differently. Baltimore knows very well what it's like to go into Buffalo and have a pretty good lead, 15-point lead in the fourth quarter, but see that evaporate. So Buffalo, not an easy place to play. They get a mini bye week before the Saints, and they're 3-0. Tell me about what you think about, because Detroit, You know, they lose their first game, then they drill Chicago pretty much as expected. What do you think about tonight?
Well, with tonight, you know, Detroit and Baltimore have a lot of similarities in how they want to win. Mike, they want to win up front. That's a big key to both teams, offensive, defensive line play. Now, Lamar is Lamar. He's unique. You can't compare him to anybody else in the National Football League, the way he plays at that quarterback position and how he's developed into being such an efficient and more accurate quarterback. But, man, can Detroit stop the Ravens offensively? Because I think the best part of what the Ravens can do, they got, you can throw it around, man, is Derrick Henry. Okay, and the big man can still rumble at his age. With his size and his power, he just wears you out. Buffalo, man, just a unique team because you think you got a lead until Superman comes out on the field. And that's what he was that Sunday night game. He was Superman to get him to win that game against Baltimore because they had him. They really had him wrapped up and just couldn't finish him off. But, man, tonight, the Ravens at home, they're tough to beat. I expect it'll be a kind of hammer and tong type game where both teams sort of banging away at one another. But I just think at the end, Lamar Jackson, Derrick Henry, they put a lot of pressure points on you defensively.
So let's talk about the NFC South. You got to win Super Bowls to get statues, and there's a Tom Brady statue in New England. I'm starting to dislike Baker Mayfield each and every week a little bit more. Three straight games, three straight fourth quarter, final drive, comeback to win. They're 3-0. They were down to the Jets, and he comes back. I mean, he's tough. I mean, if you play for us, you know, he'd be, you know, everything. But when he doesn't, it's not even that he's even fazed by it anymore. It's almost like he relishes it.
Yeah, he wants that. And Mike, at the end of the game, she was in Louisiana for a long time and then went back to her hometown in Tampa, Eileen Heitnik. She was saying that when Tampa got back on the field for the final drive, it was deafening, the chant of Baker, Baker, Baker. Man, you think about that 3 years ago. Man, when Baker Mayfield signed with Tampa Bay, now they'll have all kind of people swear to you that they wanted him with the Saints. Okay, I never saw any of those text deals come over or people calling in about that at all. Now, after the fact, then there's plenty of them. And I didn't think at that stage, you know, I thought Baker maybe he was going to be a bust type player. And then he goes to Tampa, and everything works. Dave Canales is there to develop him, and then Leon Combe last year. But it's the confidence he plays in. He's got a bit of a swagger. Now, he'll put some balls up. You shake your head. What are you doing? But then he'll make some great plays. Ultra-tough guy. I think he's matured mentally to understanding this game at another level. And he's been the difference in the NFC South. Mike, I'm convinced. We never thought once Brady walked away, and they bring in Baker Mayfield, they play him for the next young quarterback to come out of college. It wasn't going to be Baker. It's been the big difference for him. What a tremendous performer he's been. I wouldn't call him an elite player, but he's very good. And, boy, put him in clutch. He's clutch.
He has been clutch. And thank you, my friend. As always, Mike Dettillier, the NFC South, man. I don't know. Carolina drills Atlanta. They're 1-2. Carolina's 1-2. Saints got to get a W. My thanks to Charlie Long in the booth. Of course, head coach Kellen Moore and assistant coach Brendan Nugent. Thanks to everybody for listening. Same time next week here on the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show, hopefully after a stunning victory in Buffalo, right here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get emotion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
Ever watch your pet sleep and wonder what they're dreaming about? Maybe it's them chasing a ball on a grassy field next to your new duplex, or catching the frisbee in front of your single-family home. Or perhaps they're zooming around the kitchen of your open-concept condo. Whatever their dream setting looks like, you can rest assured that you'll find the most pet-friendly rental listings on Apartments.com. The place to find a pet-friendly place.
Deborah had to have surgery.
I had hip surgery in November of 2024.
Her UnitedHealthcare nurse, Crystal, checked on her.
We do a routine call after surgery, and I could tell that she was struggling.
Deborah needed help.
My infection markers were through the roof.
And Crystal knew what to do.
I called the hospital and said she's coming in.
And got Deborah the help she needed.
Crystal and UnitedHealthcare saved my life.
Hear more stories like Deborah's at UHC.com. Benefits, features, and or devices vary by plan area. Limitation and exclusions apply.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speed Test. So MLB fans are connected from home to home plate. With the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever, you can keep up with your teams on the road, overseas, and even off the grid. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla Speed Test Intelligence data, 1H 2025, compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.